House Military and Veterans Affairs Committee has convening. It is February 17th. We have absent Representative Harris, present Representative Lynn Olson, absent Representative Ramirez, present Representative Book, absent Representative Kawasaki, myself, present, of course, Representative Gatto. If you have a cell phone in your possession, it's a good time to address Representative Kawasaki has now arrived. If you have a cell phone, it's a good time to deal with that so that it doesn't ring during the session. We have three bills before us today. House Bill 99, Deceased Veteran Death Certificates, SJR 5, Alaska Territorial Guard Retirement Benefits, and House Bill 97, State Veteran Cemetery and Fund. The first bill we will take up will be House Bill 99, offered by Representative Lynn, that deals with death certificates for deceased veterans. Representative Lynn, you can speak from here or there, but first I need a motion that we adopt the CS for House Bill 99. Do I have a motion?
So moved. Mr. Chair, I move that we work with the CS to House Bill 99. I'm looking for the number.
And that's version E?
Yeah, right.
Is there an objection to adopting the CS? Hearing and seeing none, we have before us CS for House Bill 99, version E, an act relating to providing a death certificate for a deceased veteran without charge and providing for an effective date. Representative Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and at your pleasure, I'll speak from here. House Bill 99 is one of those simple bills, I hope so. It provides one certified death certificate without cost to a deceased veteran. Surviving spouse, a next of kin, or other eligible relative of a deceased veteran. This is just one more thing we can and should do to honor our veterans and to help their families when the veteran passes on. In the original bill, we had a section 2, which the CS eliminated, and that was for a memorial certificate. And it was a general agreement that that really wasn't necessary and the veterans didn't care that much about it. And so to simplify the bill, the CS took that out. This bill is identical to HB 236 in 2008 and 167 prior to that, I think it was, which got caught in the rush in Senate Finance. I think this is a good and appropriate bill, and I request your favorable consideration. We have Mr. Hugh Pierre in the audience. We have somebody from Vital Statistics and so on, and so we could hear from them if you so choose.
Okay. Mr. Pierre, did you want to testify?
Sure, Mr. Chairman.
And thank you. Name and ID for the record.
Yes, sir. For the record, my name is McHugh Pierre, Department of Military and Veterans Affairs Legislative Liaison, and I'll just make this short and sweet. Mr. Chairman, we've worked with Representative Lynn, the bill sponsor, and those folks from the State Affairs Committee who are interested in this bill, and we fully support it, and we appreciate his diligence in helping out veterans in this way. My grandfather just passed away before Christmas, and he was a lifelong veteran, Army Air Corps and the Air Force, and this is something that would have helped him out or helped my grandmother out, and I think this is something that is very commendable. Thank you very much.
Okay.
If I may, Mr. Chair, if I may, I'm not actually the sponsor of the bill. It's the House State Affairs Committee, so it is a committee bill.
Okay. Mr. Pierre, there is a reference on page 2 to naming all the different, or the definition of on active duty at the time of the death or has received honorable or general discharge, and then mentions the branches, and one of them is the Alaska Scouts. Is this the same as the Eskimo Scouts with a new name, and is this a proper and official name so that this bill will identify a given set of people that recognize who they are?
Mr. Chairman, this does address a certain set. There's some confusion between the Alaska Territorial Guard and the Alaska Territorial Guard. You see, what we often talk about is the Alaska Territorial Guard between 1941 and 1947 that served on active duty status for World War II Defense of the Homeland mission. what the Alaska Scouts addresses is those members who joined the Alaska National Guard for it was a state, which would also be Alaska Territorial Guard, and that would be from 1948 until statehood in 1949. And there are different variations of how those people describe themselves, and I believe that this the language in the bill is sufficient to capture everyone involved.
Okay. So that there could be a member in two sets of identities here easily. All right. So we have the definition of a veteran. We have the definition of a resident. And we have the act takes effect immediately. Are there any other questions from the committee here? Hearing and seeing none, we'll go to hear from the public. Is there anyone that wants to testify off net? No one to testify off net. Anyone in the audience? We'll close public testimony and we'll come back to the committee members. Any discussion from the committee members? Seeing none, I'll accept a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would move CS for House Bill number 99, that's 24-S0010/E, with individual recommendation and attached fiscal note.
Okay. No objections, then House Bill, CS for House Bill 99 moves from committee.
And I thank you in the name of the House State Affairs Committee.
Okay. Next bill to be discussed is, let's make sure I don't do one twice here, SJR 5, Alaska Territorial Guard Retirement Benefits. So we have, is this a CS also? Yes, it is. We have CS for Senate Joint Resolution 5 Finance in front of us. Can I have a motion to accept the CS? It's already been accepted. We don't need to accept it then. So we have before us CS for Senate Joint Resolution 5 Finance, and we have Karen Sawyer here to testify before the bill.
Yes.
Please identify yourself, name and ID.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. My name is Karen Sawyer. I'm staff to Senator Charlie Huggins. And as most of you know, the members of the Alaska Territorial Guard, which is also known as the ATG, they were defending the Alaska coastline from the Japanese during World War II. And there were 6,368 volunteers in the ATG. Most of them were Alaska Native, ranging in age from 12 to 80. The service of these guards were not recognized until the year 2000, when they were granted U.S. veteran status by law, finally acknowledging their contribution to the military. By that time, there were only a few hundred guards left still living. But in January of this year, the Army made a decision to stop the retirement pay of the 26 ATG members who were receiving retirement pay. This came because of a legal interpretation about whether their ATG service qualified towards its military retirement benefits. This decision came at a time when these members, who are mostly in their 80s, are living in the rural communities up north where the winter is very bitter cold, the resources are scarce, and there's the price of oil, et cetera, is extremely high. When the news was received about this decision, there was a great uproar and critical response towards the Army and the Congress. Because of this, our Alaska delegation immediately brought this matter to the attention of the President and the rest of the Congress. At that time, a few weeks later, just a couple weeks later, the Army decided that they would pay for 2 months' worth of retirement pay to these 26 members and out of their retirement or out of their emergency funds until this matter could be looked into. CS for SJR 5 Finance is a resolution that just urges the Department of Defense to continue to provide retirement funds for these ATG members. We're supporting the legislation that our Alaska delegation has introduced in Congress, and we're also asking in this resolution that the Department of Defense continues to pay for the retirement benefits for these 26 members out of their emergency funds until such a time that the Army either reverses their January decision or the legislation is passed in Congress. And so I respectfully ask that you pass this out of committee so we can get this on to the President and Congress. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
Well, the first one, is there any reason to believe that the decision would be reversed since it was based on an interpretation and that interpretation hasn't really changed?
Well, some people that we've talked to have said that there's a chance that they might reverse it. They're looking at that right now. And the likelihood, though, of this happening within that 60-day time frame is pretty slim. We've been told that the congressional legislation on the House and the Senate side will be put into the Defense Act, which typically, and that's the act that they will listen later in the summer, because it has to do with all military funding, including the money that goes for Iraq. And so that's probably going to be delayed. And so the likelihood is after the end of March, the 26 members of the Guard will no longer be receiving their retirement funds unless the Army will continue to pay until something is done. So.
Okay. Questions from the committee?
I would like to make a comment.
Representative Book.
I appreciate the sponsor bringing this forward. I would have liked to have congratulated Senator himself, but thank you very much for your efforts in this regard. I think it's long overdue, and I think this is the least that we can do to honor these people. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Other members? Is there a public testimony? She's busy. She's ignoring me. I warned you about that. Penalties are coming. No public testimony? Okay. Public testimony from the audience. Close public testimony and bring it back to the committee. Committee members? Questions for Ms. Sawyer?
Mr. Chair, will you entertain a motion to move the bill?
Well, I might have a question for her.
All right.
The number of people directly involved, are these only in Alaska, or does this have an effect outside of the state?
No, these are members that live in Alaska. There's 26 that are currently receiving retirement benefits. There's an additional maybe 30 that are in the process of going through the application stage. It took a long time for the members of the Guard to be found and gone through the application process. So there are additional members that could be affected by this glitch in the law.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 5, Finance 26-LS0468/E. With individual recommendations, and is there a fiscal note?
It's a zero fiscal note.
Zero fiscal note.
Okay. Is there an objection? Without objection, the bill passes from committee. That brings us to the third, and thank you very much for your time. It's always nice to have you here. I miss your dog greatly. House Bill, finally, the last bill is House Bill 97, State Veterans Cemetery. And we have here to deal with House Bill 97, Representative Guttenberg. For the record, Representative Guttenberg, in the microphone, name and identification.
Is it in a microphone? Or my name is, I'm Representative David Guttenberg, House District 8. I'm here to present you with House Bill 97, State Veterans Cemetery. A number of years back, a woman came up to me, a woman who I know is a veteran, and said, Rick wanted to be buried close to home. Please work on making that happen. Little did she know that her husband was the dispatcher of my union, who dispatched me 35 years before that for the first time. And he was a comic book character. He was a big retired Marine and chewed on a big fat cigar. And he was a great guy, and when he passed away, that was his wish. She came to me, and I started looking into it, found out that the state wasn't eligible for another national cemetery. We're currently have two, one at Sitka, one at Fort Richardson. One at Fort Richardson, sometimes the gate is closed, sometimes the alert status is high, and sometimes it's just too far for families to go. And the research found out that there is a state veteran cemetery program that the VA wants to put in place. The VA's goal is to have a veteran cemetery within 75 miles of 90% of the veterans in the country. Currently, Fairbanks is the only community that would be eligible. The bill originally said, 4 years ago, said for Fairbanks, but it got amended for anyone that is qualified, any community that is qualified. This bill passed the State House twice. The first time died in the Senate without a hearing. Last year died in Senate Finance without a hearing. Since last year, went to the governor, said, Governor, we will write the grant for the VA. My office wrote a grant. The department has it. We're waiting for them to submit it. The governor put $250,000 into the budget for this. And now I come before you with the bill again. Hopefully we'll have better chances this time. So this is enabling legislation for the state to enter in to have a veteran cemetery. The grant's in place. The governor put the money in place. All the requirements for who gets buried there, what happens, are up to the VA. We don't set those standards, whether it's the Territorial Guard or the National Guard. These are all VA things that the VA sets. There is no place yet set for where it would be in any community. The grant is written. It'll be turned over to the VA. The VA pays for 100% of the costs. The state would be responsible for maintenance. What those costs would be conditional upon where it is. If it's adjacent to another cemetery, obviously it would be a lot more reasonable. If it was standalone off by itself, it would be a different story.
Thank you. For the record, we've been joined by Representative Harris. The question I have is, the federal government will build us a cemetery, and we maintain it. Now, let's say the cemetery is built, and we have a grave to dig in January. Is that a state expense, then, or the federal expense to prepare the grave site? Or if we just maintain the grass and the flowers and things?
There is an allotment per burial. So the VA gives $300 for interment. And in some cases, I think it's a little more for another situation. But and it becomes part of the budget. I imagine at the end of the year, you write them a letter saying, fill out a form. This is how many. This is who got buried here. And they would cover those charges. Those costs.
And the location of the cemetery is simply not part of the bill?
It's not part of the bill. People keep asking me about it. People have expressed interest about where it would be. Some people have even said they had land that they would donate. The VA wants about 20 acres. Somebody contacted me, said I had 11 acres. They want an optimum size based upon demographics. Expectation of a life of the cemetery, so many vets, so many mortalities. In some cases, the spouse is eligible to be buried with the vet if they were a non-veteran with the veteran. I think their optimum size is 20 acres.
Got it. Other questions? Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This doesn't actually create new sets of license plates. There's license plates that already exist under DMV.
Yes.
And
right.
Can you tell me where that money now goes?
Right now, from what I understand, it's sitting there unused. Mm-hmm. And all this bill does is it says that you can use that money for this program.
Yeah. My understanding is DMV believes they make a substantial amount of extra income with special vanity license plates. And what you're telling me then is this set of income, DMV income, is reserved in a subaccount, or is it commingled and all the license plate issues are collectively taken care of at one time?
I believe, my understanding is, and maybe the Representative Harris, who's had a position in his position in finance and speaker before, like most things, it's not a dedicated fund, but it sits in a designation. So when a vet's license plate is purchased, the money goes into the vet's license plates fund. And those funds haven't been allocated yet, is my understanding. Okay. And all this does is said this is one of the programs that it could be used for. You would see that on page 2, line 2. It's the amendment to that section.
We do have someone online from DMV, but Representative Harris had a question.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. St. Guttenberg, this is what, the third time? Maybe it'll be the charm.
Maybe it'll be the charm.
David, can you tell me, without giving away any secrets from the other body, why did your bill die in finance? Were there some issues, or was it purely political, or do you know? I mean, is there something that we need to look at changing here to get it through over there, or what?
I would thank you through the chair. I would say get it over there faster and let them make that decision, what they want to do.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to your basic question. I don't know what
okay,
happened.
That's fair. Mr. Chairman, maybe it had to do with location, but it doesn't seem to me like, you know, maybe there's an anti-Fairbanks sentiment, and you're from Fairbanks, and maybe they didn't like Fairbanks.
Well, through the chair, originally the bill, understanding that Fairbanks was the only community eligible, the bill originally said Fairbanks.
Right.
But that was the first hearing. The second hearing and the third hearing before it got to the floor originally said any place, any community in the state eligible. So Fairbanks is eligible. Maybe Bethel at some point would be eligible.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, if I can follow up one brief question here. How much room is left in the cemetery in Anchorage or in Fort Ridge?
Fort Ridge. I don't know the answer to about Fort Ridge.
Probably quite a bit, though, I would assume, maybe.
I know the one in Sitka is declining pretty fast.
It is? People aren't dying to get in there anymore?
I think the space is limited. Okay.
All right. So it would be nice to have one in another location as well. That would be all right with me. I don't have a problem with that.
I think we should have them in different locations. Our veterans come from different locations.
So, I, you know, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to support this bill. I've supported it, I think, for the third time, I think. So I don't see a problem with it.
Any other questions? Let me go to Department of Motor Vehicles, Stacy Oates. Stacy, are you hearing us?
Yes. For the record, my name is Stacy Oates. I'm the administrative officer for the Division of Motor Vehicles, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
And you may have heard the question came up about dedication of license plate revenues, whether they were veterans plates or other vanity plates.
These particular plates, the language in there now says that we report that amount to the Division of Finance. We keep a record of how much money is collected for those specific plates, and then it's available for appropriation for veterans issues, veterans programs, and then with this, with a change in the language, then it would also be available for the veteran cemetery funds. But it is not, it all goes into the general fund. There is not a separate fund for these commemorative plates.
So it goes in the general fund, but your records indicate how much can be taken from the general fund.
Correct.
And is it the only amount you can take from the general fund is the veteran license plate monies, or can you take any license plate monies that are related to these special plates?
Just for the commemorative veterans plates.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Harris.
The reality is, if you look at Section 3 here on page 2, and it states there's this created a special account in the general fund, anything that's in the general fund is available for appropriation. I could take money out of any account I want out of the general fund and use it for anything I want as long as I can get 21 and 11 votes. So special accounts, you name it, it doesn't make any difference. what we tend to do is we set aside money in various accounts for sort of specific purposes. But the Constitution is very clear. You can't dedicate a fund. In other words, an absolute dedicated fund without a constitutional amendment. And we've done a couple of those. Not many, but a few. So anyway, this fund is a wonderful thing and all that. But it's nothing more than a guideline for folks putting together the budget to say, you know, well, if we want to spend some money on this, we'll dip into this particular fund where we've created, you know, revenue by certain appropriations.
Okay. Very helpful. Thank you, Stacy.
You're welcome.
Next, I want to go to Tim Wheeler, president of Alaska Veterans Alliance.
Yes, Mr. Chair. My name is Tim Wheeler. I'm the president of the Alaska Veterans Business Alliance. One message to you, Mr. Chair. Rick Davidge told me to let you know that he is out of town, and he submitted a letter to you in regards to this bill. I support this House Bill 97. It's the right thing to do. It's a way to thank the veterans who have served for the freedoms of this country, and it's also fair for Fairbanks to get a cemetery for the family members instead of driving all the way to Anchorage to the Fort Ridge. At least they can be closer to their loved ones that are under the ground. So I support House Bill 97, and I would like everyone else to support it and move it on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wheeler, for your testimony. Next and the final person wishing to testify is Pat Luby from Anchorage, AARP. Pat, are you there?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Pat Luby. I'm the Advocacy Director for AARP in Alaska. AARP has a large number of veterans among our membership. One of the greatest honors that can be afforded a veteran and his or her family is a final resting place in the Veterans Cemetery. However, families would prefer to have a cemetery that is closer to them. HB 97 will offer many of our veterans and their families that opportunity through future development of one or more new cemeteries, hopefully in the interior. AARP strongly supports House Bill 97. On a personal note, as a veteran of the 82nd Airborne and Vietnamese Rangers, I personally request that you pass this bill out for the benefit of all veterans. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Luby. Do you know how many veterans that may be looking at burial in a veteran cemetery are alive and well in Alaska?
Not exact numbers. I know that we have the highest per capita number of veterans of any state in the Union.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Luby. Is there anyone in the audience that wants to testify? Anyone else online? Close public testimony, bring it back to the committee. Anyone in the committee have a comment? Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just wanted to put on the record, and I don't know if we have to put a letter into the record about this, but since there's no fiscal impact for this year and it's only enabling legislation, I thought that perhaps we can send the recommendation to the Finance Committee that it should have a Finance Committee referral. It has a second referral to State Affairs.
And it also has a referral to Finance, even though it has no fiscal note.
It does.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, we can consider moving it out State Affairs if you'd wish to do so.
Certainly would. I think all possible speed would be the order of the day, and we might be able to wave it out or may be able to meet.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Harris.
I'd like to move that we move from committee House Bill number 97/A out of committee with individual recommendations and zero fiscal note.
Is there an objection? Seeing and hearing none, House Bill 97 moves from committee to the next committee of referral. With that, there is no other business, and Military and Veterans Affairs Committee is adjourned. Thank you.